Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, September the 24th, 2011, and I am very grateful you chose to be with me. I have a little laryngitis, as you can tell. Been struggling with this cold thing, and I hope you will forgive my voice and the quality of it, as it were. I've really been struggling with this thing, and your compassion right now is deeply appreciated. It really is. Let me just kind of kick into the questions here for a moment. But before I do, I want to invite you to the website at aspire.org. And if you go there, you will see kind of on a traveling banner that goes by my year-end gift to you, my year-end DVD that I send out to those of you who have made a donation to Aspire, and those of you who would be interested in just receiving this beautiful DVD. It is the story of the Holy Shadow, one of my very favorite stories. It's a Sufi story, and one of my beautiful students has, made some drawings of this story, and another one of my beautiful students has put it together. And we've made kind of a DVD out of it, a story, kind of for kids, but for adults too. A lot of it's for adults, don't get me wrong. It's not going to insult your adulthood. But it's a very beautiful story that was told to me many, many years ago in India. I dearly loved it. I'll never forget how I felt about it and how much it meant to me. And maybe it'll mean the same to you. I'd love to send this to you. It's for free, no charge. Feel free to come to the website at aspire.org. You will see the little banners go by, and when you get to the year-end one, just click on it, and you can find out more information about it and order there for free, safely and securely, of course. And I'll send it off to you first-class mail. I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, first question today. Is it not enough to live a good life? I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't go out of my way to hurt others. Should I be doing more? I don't think so. Clay. Clay, I don't know where you listen to me from, but I want to thank you for listening to me. Well, if you don't think so, why did you email me? You must have some deep suspicion inside you that maybe not everything is as advertised. I think people do something very sad with their life. They boil it down to some kind of moral precept, concept, and tone. And when we do this, of course, we lose the essential meaning of what it is to have a meaningful life. I think people have this odd idea, and I've never been a biblical guy, so this never really worked too much on me. But what it was is you have some kind of preset morals. Now, where these come from, I guess, are the Ten Commandments, something like that, that people have taken out of the Bible. And then they assume they understand, you know, thou shalt not kill, covet, you know, thy neighbor's wife or possessions or whatever. And they kind of go on and on and on with that kind of stuff. And they kind of think, well, if I don't do this and I don't do that, then I'm pleasing God. Well, I have always had, Clay, a kind of a weird point of view about that. If God made you in the image and likeness of himself, as the Bible says, then why would you need rules to live by? And if there was this tremendous downfall of humankind, where we fell in Adam and Eve, then don't you think God must be a little screwed up too? I mean, if I'm the outpouring of his creation, and he can be tempted to do all sorts of heinous, crazy things, then he must be crazy too. So I don't really get all this moral stuff. I never have. I hear people talk about it. I don't get it. If you have to, if I am the outpouring of this thing called God, and I need rules to keep me from doing the wrong thing based on God's creation, then it just becomes very convoluted to me. You say, is it not enough to live a good life? I don't know what you really are all about. I don't know if a good life is what you say here, or maybe it means something more. You're saying to me, if you don't lie, cheat, and steal, you've lived a good life. And so you seem very confident about it. You don't go out of your way to hurt other people, so you say here. But all of a sudden now you're saying, is there more? Well, you know, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for my life. I haven't done everything the way I wish I could have. I'm not a perfect person at all. But one thing I have found out that makes for a very beautiful life. And to me, that is resonating to the tone of a certain quality of silence. And if I can resonate to that quality, if I can immerse myself in it, if I can allow that quality to overtake me, then so much of what I do is not a matter of rules. I've always had trouble with people who had to have rules to be good, quote unquote. If my goodness does not exceed that of the rules, if I'm only good because of rules that people have told me I have to live by, of what good am I? I mean, what am I doing? What is the meaning of my life? What is really happening here? You mean I need a rule to say, thou shalt not steal? It just doesn't dawn on me that that's not mine, and I shouldn't take it? I have to have a rule. I have to have someone say to me, Greg, don't steal that. That's God's rule. That I need that? You got to be kidding me, really. Otherwise, I just take it. Sounds like an American to me. We just do what we want because we think we're free. We're not free. If you haven't noticed that, we're not free. Hello, out there. You're not free. There is karma for everything. So, you say to me, you live a good life. You don't steal. You don't lie. Okay. But if you only don't steal and don't lie because you've been told not to do it, how good is that good? It's because someone had to tell you that you had to be that good. That's how good your good is. And to me, that's not very good at all. Not at all. I would rather have something come out of me that was involuntarily kind. Now, that would mean something to me. Where maybe Greg, as a man, is against it, like giving. Maybe giving to a homeless person. I've heard people tell me, I give all the time to them. I'm a highly annoying person. And many levels, as you might imagine. But, you know, people will stop me and say, you know, when you give it to them, you're just empowering them to go and do it again. You're just, you know, giving them the right to go buy booze with it. Look, and I tell everyone this. It's not my responsibility how the money leaves, but how it leaves my hands. That is very important. And who I'm drawn to give in that way. Whoever's before me is within me. So no matter what that homeless person may be going through or whatever, if the money I give them, if the money I share with them, leaves my hands compassionately in care and kindness, that person's going to feel it at some level. And what they do with it is none of my business. Not at that point. I have given it in love. Now, if they want to turn it into hate and fear and anger again, what can I do? Not giving it to them isn't going to change anything either. It's hard for people to see this. Clay, I'm not here to be a judge of you. It's just that, to me, you have to be able to do things not because you're told to, but because you can. Because there's some kind of intrinsic goodness in you. And following that intrinsic goodness should be more important than anything in the world. Just to know the goodness of your being, Clay, and then to follow it. I tell my students over and over again, let love live you. Just to keep letting love live you. Do you remember what Gandhi said, Clay? We must be the change we want to see in the world. I think that is a very important teaching. I must become that which I want to see from my heart, not my head, not my emotions, not my passions, but from my heart. So that's kind of the rule I follow. I let this beautiful love that lives, and I try very deeply to let it live through me. Sometimes I'm very successful, and sometimes I muck it up. But I keep at it over and over and over again. Never giving up. Never looking at it and thinking, oh, this is stupid. I realize the meaning of my life. And it is not to, quote-unquote, do good or be good, but to let love live me. I hope that helps, Clay. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a good question. You know, Jesus talked about it. If your good doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what good is it? And what he was saying is, if your good is just good because people tell you you should be good, and this is the standard of it, what the heck? And it's good insight. I don't know. We get caught up in so much rigmarole, don't we? All right, the next question comes from Sarah in San Diego. I try to forgive. Sometimes I think I have, and then bingo, I haven't. I can't. Why, Sarah? Sarah, God bless you. Forgiveness is an involuntary act. It isn't something I think about, I will forgive you. It's an involuntary act. It's the result of compassion. You know, it's like hate. You know, people get angry and they start hating. Hate is an involuntary act of my fear. Forgiveness is an involuntary act of something called compassion. And it means that to really cultivate authentic compassion, I have to go through many, many things through myself. I have to be able to look at my own errors, my own misgivings, my own fears, my own trials and tribulations. And instead of putting them on other people and blaming them for, you know, what has happened, I start to look at it from the point of view of what it's doing to me. And I no longer go there. I don't create more difficulties in my life. I simply let my life live through me. Now, when you are able to do that, when that becomes the real thrust of your living, you're going to find, Sarah, that one day, without you having to think about it or do anything about it, you have forgiven. You can't hold animosity anymore. You can't hold that edgy rightness. You're not devaluating people. You're not looking at everyone and saying, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. You're a good person, you're a bad person. You just can't do that. You're looking at life from the point of view of a loving compassion. And it's not a thought. It's a state of being. It's a place where you and I thrive and where we live. So, don't try to forgive. You need to meditate. You need to get your anger out. You need to get your fear out. You need to get all those elements within you of unkindness out. You need to do things in your life that are deeply important to your living. You're going to have to work upon yourself. You can't just sit there and go, okay, I'll visualize myself forgiving. Okay, Martha, you little creep, all the things you did to me, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. No. I give you all the reasons to forgive. But your mind only needs one reason not to forgive, and that is that it's right and everyone else is wrong. Just wipes out everything. It wasn't fair. That wasn't right. It didn't need to happen that way, blah, blah. But you see, that wouldn't help you. And that isn't forgiveness. You're going to have to go through the process of your own pain and sorrow. With the things you've done, like the things I've done, that we must look at about ourselves. And then instead of looking at it from the point of view of what a bad person we are, immoral person we are, just to look at it from where the pain arose. In other words, why did I act this way? Why did I come from this way? Now, those are powerful questions to ask. You'll see a lot of it comes from DNA and culture and society, religion and philosophy. But that's still not enough. You're going to have to look at it, really look at it. And I know you're saying, well, why should I bother with all this? Well, this is what you do in the course of a lifetime. This is what makes living life. This is what makes our life worth living. This is why we do live. We live to understand the nature of all of this upon ourselves. And if we do understand this upon ourselves, the nature of all of this upon ourselves, then we come to significance. And you will see, you know, holding resentment towards another person is just unkind. And it doesn't have anything to do with the meaning of my life as me. So go take a look at yourself a little bit differently, Sarah. Get involved in what you are. I don't know where you live, but you need to find a teacher. You need to work upon yourself. You need to really invest effort and energy and time and karma into it. I have so many things I'd like to say to you, but I can't. Because if I do, I sound wacky. But let me say this. There is a certain amount of karmic penance I have to pay for the things I've done. You know, I think life has been very merciful to me. Extremely merciful. For some of the crazy stunts we've all pulled in our life, thinking we were doing the right thing, only to find out it had nothing to do with right, it had nothing to do with love, it had nothing to do with anything that was really meaningful. To be able to see the bigger picture for what it is, well, it's a very important thing. Just think about it, will you? Forgiveness, involuntary act. It happens, it arises out of a consciousness of love. And if someone has to ask me for my forgiveness, well, I should give it to them readily, absolutely, without hesitation. And more blessed is the person who understands me to the point where they know they don't have to ask for my forgiveness. They know they are loved. That is very, very special. And that's really, to me, what it's all about. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Lydia. She says, I want a family, but I am not finding that right now in my life, Greg. What can I do? I really want a family, Lydia. I don't know, Lydia. Baby girl, listen, I don't know who you are. I've never met you, but stop wanting a family and start looking at what makes you want a family. I was dating this woman years ago, and she said, if I could, I'd have 12 kids. I reeled myself right in. I said, why? And she said, because then you'd have all those people loving you. And I said, so you would have child after child after child after child for the sake of yourself and being loved. She said, yeah. And then she had this whole plan. Of course, I moved right along. So, you know, you just don't do things like that. You don't have families, Lydia, and kids because you want to be loved. You think that's okay, huh? You think that makes it all okay. But it doesn't. We were overpopulated as is. And we got a bunch of people here on Earth who don't feel loved. So do you think that we should all just, you know, make a couple of kids apiece and then we'll all feel loved and happy? I know people follow their DNA, and it's typical for many people to follow their DNA and think they want kids, but you got to look at the bigger picture. If I only love you because I, quote unquote, forgive me for saying this, made you, and now you have to love me, where's the love in that? Maybe, Lydia, you ought to start learning to love yourself first. Maybe you ought to do the dirty work first that you want other people to do for you. Maybe it's time for you to find out, why don't I love me? Why aren't I enough? What is it about me that just isn't enough? Maybe that ought to be the ebb and flow of your life rather than what you're thinking of doing here, which is trying to find some sucker to pay for your lack of love for yourself, and then you feel happy and content, and he will get tired of you, and the kids will come out, you know, kind of like the relationship between the two of you, because children, the relationship they have with themselves is based on the ones their parents have with each other. And can you imagine the kind of child you'd bring into this world? What you'd do to them? Does that not play in at all to your consciousness, to your awareness, to whatever's going on? If you're this selfish now, what are you going to teach these children when they get older? More selfishness and more selfishness and more selfishness? Look, find out who you are. Find the love that lives within you. If you find that love, Lydia, if you can meditate and work upon yourself to find it, you're going to realize suddenly that having more children on this planet isn't going to help anything, and yours aren't going to help anything. You want the bigger picture of your life. In the end, it's all about love, not who loves you, how many people love you, but just love and you. You are love. You are the love you seek. You don't need other people to prove it. And that, my darling, is the meaning of your life. A lot of people think they need a husband, a wife, or a kid to love them. And if that is the case, then what good is my love? If it's not good enough for me, it certainly isn't going to be enough for you. Think about it. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question for this laryngitis guy, something you would like to talk about, please come to the website at aspire.org. There you will see in the upper right-hand corner it says contact. Click on it. Contact me. I'd love to hear from you. I love questions, and I'd love to hear about maybe the radio program, what it means to you, what it doesn't, maybe some of the things I can do to help you better. Whatever it is that would serve you better or more, I would love to hear from you. Again, come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. And while you're there, I hope that you will consider being a sponsor. You know, a sponsor of Aspire, we can only pay for airtime according to your tax-deductible gifts, your donations. And it is through your donations that I'm able to pay the radio station. And we need sponsors. We need people who will come in and help us either monthly or quarterly, whatever fits your budget. You can start as low per month as $25 a month, which is a huge help to me. Or you can start at a quarterly gift of $50 a quarter, four times a year. That's only $200 a year. But all of that money goes to serve humankind. People like you who are listening to this radio program, who find some value in it, some help in it, and want to see it continue. It is very unique, let's face it. Even with my laryngitis, your donations are the only way in which we can make Aspire possible. So come to the website at aspire.org. Go to the main page there. You will see Support Aspire. And if you pull down that little bar there, you'll see it right there. You will see sponsorship, donations, testimonials, year-end gift that you can make, all sorts of things to be of service to humankind. And remember, you are being of service to humankind. And maybe while you're there, you can order your year-end DVD gift that I have for you on the Holy Shadow. I think you'll find it very, very meaningful. Here it is. Wow, what a day. What are you going to do today? I'm going to sit here and cough all day and get this over with. Don't you? I don't know. When I get sick, I have to be patient with myself and really take a look at, you know, how I'm using my energy and how I'm not taking care of myself. So it's kind of a revealing moment for old Gregory here. So that's what I'm going to be doing all day and sipping hot tea. You have a wonderful day. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04. I hope you will join me at that time. I hope I'm better. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.